Last week I talked about Elisha and the double portion spirit that he received from Elijah. Two resurrections instead of one. Both Elijah and Elisha required a physical touch to be raised from the dead. Interesting point. And I finished last week by describing the resurrection of power that comes not by a physical touch, but by hearing instead of a touch. Actually, you could put it like this: Jesus touches us with his word. He touches us with his word. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The resurrection comes by hearing and believing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand today, right now, what the Spirit's saying to the church. So let's go into part two. And the focus today will be on seeing what you have never seen before. All of this touching and hearing and seeing comes from a double portion of Elisha's spirit. Like Elijah, Elisha's main prophetic ministry was in the northern kingdom of Israel, somewhere around 900 years before Christ. Elisha's ministry lasted around 50 years, and he served during the time of six different kings of Israel. He served under Ahab, Ahaziah, Joram, Jehu, Jehoaz, and Joash. There are many miraculous events recorded during the time of this double portion spirit we call Elisha. Based on 2 Kings, let me give you the order of Elisha's miracles as we get started today. Elisha took Elijah's cloak after Elijah's rapture event. Elijah is raptured and his cloak remains. So Elisha takes his cloak and he parts the Jordan River with this newly found double portion spirit. He does what Elijah did before the rapture. He touches the water stops. So let me give you a sequence of events. Elisha then, from there, the Bible says he healed the poisoned water of Jericho by throwing salt into it. The next one is one of my personal favorites, and a good reason not to mock a man who is bald-headed. It's in the Bible. Yes, Elisha had a double portion, but that double portion did not include hair on his head. 2 Kings 2:23. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from town began mocking and making fun of him. "Go away, Baldy," they chanted. "Go away, Baldy." And Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. So I want to do something. All the bald men, and don't be in denial, all the bald men in the room, stand up right now. Come on. Come on, stand up. Stay up. I want you to be loud and proud right now. Elisha, he was also bald, and he had a double portion spirit. And to the rest of the church that has hair, don't you mess with him. All right, y'all can sit down. Next, after he calls out the bears, next, during a battle between Moab and Israel, Elisha prophesied that water would appear in the desert. And the water appeared suddenly, and here's what made it a miracle: not just that it's water, but it looked like blood to the Moabite enemies. The Moabites thought the army of Israel had killed themselves, and the Moabites rushed forward only to be defeated through the deception of what they saw with their eyes. It looked like blood. They thought Israel had turned on itself. So they were defeated. Something happens next. And I can't get it off of my mind. There's something that happens next in this miracle number three that happens to be the root of pagan worship then and the root of pagan worship today. I wonder if you'll see it. The Moabite king, he knew he was losing the battle with Israel and the God of Israel, represented by Elisha. So he stops everything and he takes his firstborn son, the one that would be king after him, and he offers him as a sacrifice to the god Chemosh. What a pagan religion. Let me read it to you. 2 Kings 3:26. When the king of Moab saw that he was losing the battle, he led 700 of his swordsmen in a desperate attempt to break through the enemy lines near the king of Edom, but they failed. And then the king of Moab took his oldest son, who would have been the next king, and sacrificed him as a burnt offering on the wall. So there was great anger against Israel, and the Israelites withdrew and returned to their own land. The God of Elisha, the God of Israel, against the false god of Molech and Chemosh. A false god. So I want to stop for just a moment and let you know something. Molech is primarily tied to the Amorites in the Old Testament. Chemosh, while Chemosh is the national god of the Moabite people, and that's who they were fighting in that battle. Both of them require human sacrifices. As part of their deity, they required human sacrifices. So here's the question. Do you think these false gods, Molech and Chemosh, do you think they have disappeared? Is there a spiritual war still going on today, just like was going on in the time of Elisha, the man with the double portion spirit? Do you have ears to hear this truth today? Do you have eyes to see this truth today? 800 years in the future, after Elisha, the God of Elisha would give his only son. This Moabite king gives his firstborn son on an altar. 800 years in the future, something else would happen. God would give his only son to save mankind, while the false god Chemosh, a demonic power working under the power of Satan, he deceives people into sacrificing their children. What a contrast between these gods. One is willing to die for you. The other one wants you to die for him. The false gods want you to die for them, but the one true God offered himself to die for you. In this spirit war, this becomes the ultimate truth. Which God will you serve? Now, I'm going to touch more on that toward the end today. Let's keep going. I want to show you the Elisha miracles of the double portion spirit. This next scene in the life of the double portion Elisha is the widow of a prophet's son faces a great debt that she can't pay. And this debt is going to bring bondage to the widow's family. 2 Kings 4:2. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked her. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. The double portion Elisha tells her to go and borrow as many jars and containers as she can find and pour from the flask that has now been blessed by the man of God. Jars after jars after jars are now filled with precious olive oil. The widow used that supernatural supply of olive oil to pay off her debts and live on. Remember, Elisha's double portion prophecy ministry, it operated under the reign of 6 different kings over a period of 50 different years. Can you imagine, and I think this is important, can you imagine how many miracles he did that aren't in here? We only have portions of that 50 years. What did he do there that we don't know about? Number 5. The next scene in 2 Kings is the raising of a Shunammite woman's son from the dead. We covered that one last week, so I won't do that one. Number 6. Next, during a famine, Elisha threw flour into a pot of poison stew that was about to kill the whole bunch. During a famine, let's keep going. During a famine, Elisha takes 20 loaves of bread and feeds 100 men and has leftovers. And later, Elisha tells a Gentile Syrian commander named Naaman to dip 7 times in the Jordan River and be cleansed of leprosy, followed by Elisha placing Naaman's leprosy on his servant Gehazi because of his greed. Why all this background of Elisha today? I wanted you to catch a glimpse of what a double portion might look like. And we have no idea what is not recorded about Elisha in those 50 years. Just one more, and then I'll get to the main point of Elisha's double portion spirit. 2 Kings 6. This is miracle number 9. One day, the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, "As you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs, and there we can build a new place for us to meet." "All right," he told them, "go ahead. Please come with us." They don't want to go do it unless Elisha goes with them. "Come with us," someone suggested. "I will," he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. "Oh, sir," he cried, "it was a borrowed axe." "Where did it fall?" the man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot, and then the axe head floated to the surface. "Grab it," Elisha said, and the man reached out and grabbed it. All of this is happening under the reign of 6 different kings of Israel over a 50-year period. Now, number 10, my favorite portion of Elisha's story. The king of Aram, that's the king of the Arameans, was making plans to conquer Israel and its king. And every time the king of Aram would plot and plan something, the king of Israel seemed to know about it in advance, avoiding the battle and possible defeat. The king of Aram became frustrated, and he thinks that there must be a traitor among us selling secrets to the army of Israel. Maybe he thought the Mossad had infiltrated his team. In 2 Kings 6:11, here we pick up the story. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which one of you is a traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet of Israel. He tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is in Dothan." They've identified the problem. It's not a spy inside the camp of the Arameans. It's not a spy. It's the double portion prophet Elisha. And we found him. He's staying in Dothan. Let's go get him. This is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And I'll tell you, it is the centerpiece of today's message. Verse 14. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city where Elisha is at. When the servant of the man of God, we don't even know his name, but he's Elisha's servant. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. Do you hear the panic in his voice? They are surrounded. They have no way out. Their physical circumstances, listen carefully, their physical circumstances, what you can see with your eyes, their physical circumstances seem to be without hope. Now, for the teaching moment of today, you ready? Our physical circumstances are only half of our story. And I'm going to show you that. I hope you have eyes to see that today. Our physical circumstances are only half of the story. Yes, their physical circumstances are real. Yes, you are trapped in the city of Dothan. Yes, there are soldiers all around you. Yes, those soldiers are coming for you. Yes, they're more powerful than you. Yes, 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 yes. The physical circumstances are true. They are real. But they are only half of the real story. What about the spiritual circumstances? What's happening in the spiritual realm? I want you to think about what we've been discussing so far. I have read to you 10 supernatural events. And if you don't get anything today, I want you to get this. In those 10 supernatural events, there was a physical side and a spiritual side. And when the double portion spirit Elisha comes, the physical is overpowered by the spiritual. But the physical looks so powerful until the spirit comes. What did we talk about? Parting the Jordan with a cloak, making poison water sweet by adding salt, calling bears out of the woods to maul a bunch of smart alecks, making water appear out of nowhere that looks like blood to defeat an entire army, causing the Moloch, causing the king of Moloch to sacrifice his firstborn son on an altar. A widow's olive oil jar never runs out of oil, raising the Shunammite woman's son from the dead, turning a poison stew into a hearty meal by adding flour, feeding 100 men with 20 loaves of bread and still had leftovers in the famine, taking Naaman's leprosy away at the Jordan and giving it to Gehazi instead. And now Elisha and his servant are surrounded by the army of Aram, and there is no possible way of escape. In every one of these cases, there is a physical and there is a spiritual element. All of them look impossible until the double portion spirit Elisha comes. This is the 10th scene of the prophet Elisha. And what have we learned so far? The physical is only half of the story in every situation. And I ask what I asked multiple times last week. I ask again, sincerely and on purpose. Right now, today, do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? The physical is only half of the story. Before I read this next part, which is my favorite part today, let me ask you a question. What do your physical circumstances look like right now? I'm talking to each one of you individually. What do your physical circumstances look like right now? What are you seeing with your eyes physically in your life right now? Only the physical? Without hope? Too big? Too much? I can't do it? Can't get over the Jordan River? The water from your well looks like poison? Facebook smart alex calling you names? More enemies than friends? Your jar of olive oil is almost dry and you've got debts you can't pay. Someone you love is sick and dying. You see famine and sickness in your family and future, and there's no way out. The doctor told you it's terminal, there's no cure, there's no hope. And now, like Elisha and the servant, you are surrounded by physical circumstances that show no way of escape. I have just described to you many people in this room right now, if you'd be honest. That's your physical circumstances. And let's read the next verse in the double portion man of God, Elisha's story. Verse 16. Don't be afraid. It's Elisha talking to his servant who is terrified. Why? His servant can see the physical reality. He cannot see the spiritual reality. He can only see the physical. And what is the physical? We're going to die. We're going to die. It's too big. There's an army that surrounded the town. We're going to die. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Somebody say hallelujah. There are more on our side than are on theirs. Now, what do you think? What do you think the servant thinks in that moment? Now, I don't know how, it doesn't say how long this servant has been with Elisha. How much has he seen from Elisha before this? Has he watched all these miracles? I don't know. But the physical reality of this moment is pretty bleak. There are more on our side than are on theirs. He's probably thinking, yeah, you can't count. And then Elisha prayed. Oh, the power. Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. You see, here's the point. Elisha has a double portion spirit. He sees the physical, but he also sees the spiritual. He's got a double portion. He sees the physical. It's real. They're real soldiers. We're really surrounded. But he also sees the spiritual. Open his eyes, son, let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. Wow. And when the young man, the servant who's terrified, when he looked up, he saw what Elisha saw. He didn't used to see what Elisha saw, but the Lord touched him. And now he sees what Elisha saw. And he looked up and he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now put my main picture up on the screen here. He saw that. And what if you couldn't see that, but now you can see that? What if all you could see before is we're done, but now we're not done? What happens when God opens your eyes to see that your physical circumstances are only half of your story? That there's another half of the story. It's the spiritual side. Don't be afraid. There is more on the spiritual side than there is on the physical. I don't want you to miss this. It would be easy to read over it. Don't miss this. He says, they are not equal portions. There's more. They're not equal. I don't know how many army soldiers were surrounding Dothan. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says they surrounded this town. But whatever it is, there's more. There's more. There's more on our side than on theirs. The Lord opened the physical eyes to see the spiritual truth of their circumstances. Notice what they saw together that day. This is important too. What did they see? They didn't just see numerically more. What was it about them that they saw? Chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. Now, if you know anything about this story, what's the first thing you think when you hear that they see chariots of fire? When did you hear that before? This is where Elisha's story begins, with the chariot of fire that comes and gets his mentor, Elijah, in a chariot of fire. And now there's a bunch of them. Not one, there's a bunch of them. Let's go back to Elijah's rapture. 2 Kings 2:11, as they were walking along, now it's going backwards, Elijah and Elisha, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire, and it drove between Elijah and Elisha, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Now I don't want to make too light of this, but from Elisha's perspective, he looks up and he's already seeing all of these chariots. The Lord didn't need to open his eyes afresh. He already sees it. He has this double portion spirit. So I don't want to make too light of it, but he's like, oh, I've seen this before. I know what he's doing. You know, I've seen this. So he's not afraid. He sees these chariots of fire. Elisha has seen this before. It forever changed his life the first time. You with me? It forever changed his life. It would forever change your life. If you're standing there and suddenly a chariot of fire would come and snatch someone from the earth alive, especially when he told you and the prophets, you remember last week, when he told you and the prophets told you, he's coming for him today. He's coming for him today. That's a life-changing thing. Today, I'm going to ask all of you a question. Do you see it? Do you have eyes to see? See what, preacher? That the physical is only half of your reality. There is so much more that is unseen in the spirit realm. And I want you to get this. We have more. Is the physical reality true? Yeah, it is. We have more. There is more on our side than there is on his. We have more. The servant of Elisha had his eyes open that day. God has the power to open our eyes to see what we have never seen before, so that we can see the truth about the physical and the spiritual world around us. And the problem with many people in the church today is that you have not yet had your eyes open to see the spiritual world. All you see is the physical. And sometimes you feel outnumbered, you feel overpowered, you feel weak, because you cannot see what Elisha saw. When Jesus died on the cross, let me give you a practical application for the church. When Jesus died on the cross, what do you think it looked like in the physical realm? Everything's lost. Our hero is lost. What are we going to do now? It looked hopeless. And not just did it look hopeless, they're surrounded by mockers, jeering at him. He saved others. Why don't he save himself? Come down from the cross. It looks hopeless. Disciples, what did they do? The Bible says they went into hiding. You know that? Why wouldn't they go into hiding? They're surrounded by the very people who killed their leader. And then something happened. Listen, something happened. Jesus rises from the dead, and I want you to listen carefully to what he did and what he said to them and to us today. When he rises from the dead, in the midst of their hopelessness, in the midst of their despair, in the midst of their, I give up, he rises from the dead and he says something. This next part is coming from the one who has more than a double portion spirit. I'm not talking about Elisha now. Jesus has the spirit without limit. He has power right now, this moment, today. Before you leave, he has power to open your ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Today, right now, he has the power to let you see what you have never seen before. There is a spiritual realm that is greater than your physical. If you have eyes to see, Luke 24, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, everything in here, I told you everything must be fulfilled. When I was with you before, I told you. Many of you didn't get it, but I told you. If it's written, it's got to happen. and then he opened their minds. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if he goes, I have no idea what it looks like. Maybe he doesn't do anything, he just does it. He opened their minds to understand what they previously could not understand, even though he told them. I told you before, but they didn't see it. And now he opens their minds to understand the scripture. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who would repent. Jesus opened their eyes to see what others could not see. Now back to Elisha. Elisha could see what the servant couldn't see. The double portion spirit gave him eyes to see. Later, these men with Jesus after the resurrection were like Elisha's servant that day. Do you see the parallel? You've got Elisha and a servant with him, but the servant can't see what the master sees. And then you got Jesus and the disciples are with him, and the disciples can't see what the master can see. But in both cases, the master does something, opening the eyes of the servants to see. In both cases. Jesus opened their minds to see and understand the scriptures. Let me just make that clear. Jesus gave them the ability to understand the Bible. He gave them the ability to understand, to see. And the Bible reveals this truth today. The physical is only half of the reality of our life. Is the physical real? Yes, it's real. But it is only half of your reality. And what is the spiritual truth for us today? What is all of this mean for us today, right now? There is one with us now. One. Only one. There is one with us now in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he is so much greater than Elijah. And he is so much greater than Elisha. He has the spirit without limit. Are you ready? And he raises the dead. And he gives eternal life to all who will call upon his name by faith and repentance. And he alone can give you ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And he alone can give you eyes to see what you have never seen before. And by doing so, listen carefully, by giving you eyes, spiritual eyes, and giving you ears, spiritual ears, he is raising you from the dead. He is raising you from the dead. Because when you are only in the physical, you are trapped in life's cycle of death. But to break out of that trap, you must see what you never saw before. You must hear what you never heard before. But there's another event in this Elisha story. One more event. What happened after? This is when it gets really interesting. What happens after God opened the servant's eyes to see the chariots on fire surrounding and protect? What comes? Okay, what happens? So the servant can see. What happens? Don't you want to know how this thing ends? Verse 18. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. He's just opened the servant's eyes at the request of Elisha, and now Elisha says, I've got something I want to do different. I want you to blind all the soldiers that have surrounded the town of Dothan. So the Lord struck them with blindness. You know what I think about the story of Job? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives sight to this guy. He makes blind these guys. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And then Elisha went out and told them, you have come the wrong way. You've come the wrong way. They don't know it's Elisha. And if they do, they can't see. You've come the wrong way. I think Elisha's taunting them a little bit. This isn't the right city. Follow me. Can you imagine how funny this is? They've come to kill Elisha, and now Elisha says, y'all come with me. And they come with him. Why not? They can't see. They're all blind. Follow me, and I'll take you to the man you're looking for. And he led them, and Elisha led them, don't miss this, to the city of Samaria. You know what the city of Samaria? It's the capital of Israel. It's where all the military is at. I'll take you to the capital, the city of Samaria. As soon as they arrived, as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha prays again. Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes. This is the army of the Arameans that have come to kill Elisha. So the Lord opened their eyes and they discovered that they're in the middle of Samaria. Uh-oh. And when the king of Israel, whose throne was in Samaria, when the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them? Of course not. Elisha replied, do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. Listen. So the king made a great feast. Did you think this story's going to end like this? Neither did they. So the king made a great feast for the Aramean army that was coming to kill Elijah. And then he sent them home to their master. And after that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Don't mess with the bald man. I told you all earlier, bald people. Don't mess with the bald man. From this point on, leave Elisha alone. Leave the bald guy alone. Who is this God of Elisha who opens eyes to see? Who is this God of Elisha who blinds those who cannot see? Who is he? Do you know him? Who is this God of Elisha that opens the eyes and prepares a great feast for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see? Who is he? Do you know him? And here's my closing today. Listen carefully. Can you see? Can you see past the physical circumstances of your life right now? There are people in the room right now. Here's the hard part about preaching. There's people in the room right now. This is the best time of your life. You're at the best point you've ever been in your whole life. And there are people in the same room right now. This is the worst time you've ever had in your whole life. And there's a bunch of people in the middle. And I have the same question for all of you. Can you see that the physical reality that you are living right now is only half of your story? Has the Lord opened your mind to understand the scriptures? Do you hear today's message and you think, wow, that's powerful that servant of Elisha was in a dead panic. Everything looked lost, and suddenly there's more there. There's more for us than against us. And it changes everything. When you can see literally that there's more for me than is against me, my whole life changes. Everything changes. Some are blind and some can see. In today's story, some are blind and some can see. If you are focused, and I'm talking to each one of you individually, if you are focused only on the physical circumstances of your life, I say this in love. I say this because I love you. If all you can see right now is the physical circumstances of your life, you have been blinded by this world. You need your eyes open. We focused on Elisha these 2 weeks so that we might really see Jesus. I did not take you on this journey so that you would see Elisha. I took you on this journey so you would see Jesus. And what does Jesus desire for us to see today? This final scene is right after Jesus' baptism. He goes to his hometown of Nazareth. And Jesus, I told you, has the Spirit without limit. And now he goes to his hometown to give the people ears to hear and eyes to see who he really is. This is important. Please don't miss this ending. So he's baptized by John the Baptist, and the Bible says he goes into the wilderness. He's tempted for 40 days, and from there he goes home. He goes home to Nazareth, his hometown, where he grew up. They all know who he is, and he's going there to give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Wow, this would be awesome. I'm going to give my hometown eyes to see, ears to hear. I'm going to reveal my identity. Luke 4:17. The scroll of the scroll of Isaiah. Let me make a point. The scroll of Isaiah was written 800 years before Jesus. It's an 800-year-old scroll. 800 years, that's a long time. The scroll of Isaiah is opened and handed to Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. He has the Spirit without limit. He's already been baptized. He has the Spirit without limit. He's already been tempted by Satan. He's going home to tell my people who I am. I'm going to open your eyes and let you see. This is going to be good, right? He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim captives will be released and the blind will see. That the oppressed will be set free and the time of the Lord's favor is here. It's come. He reads that little short 800-year-old announcement of Isaiah, and it says, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down. All the eyes of the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak, and here's what he said. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled today. You know what he's saying? It's me. Isaiah was talking about me, and I'm here. I came to open your eyes to see. I came. I got good news for the poor. I'm going to free those who are captive. I'm going to make blind people see. The year of the Lord's favor is today. Right? Do you know how his hometown people responded to that revelation? Do you know? It's in Nazareth. It's in this Nazareth scene that they took Jesus to the edge of a cliff. By the way, I've been to that cliff. I've been to that place. They took Jesus to the edge of a cliff and they tried to push him over the edge because I don't want to see and I don't want to hear your message. I don't believe you are who you say you are. They tried to push him over the edge, but obviously that's not possible because that's not how he was going to die. Can you see today? Be honest. Has the Lord opened your eyes to understand the scripture? There are two groups. One group left that day Nazareth with their eyes wide open. Some people in that group believed him. The other group was so blinded that they tried to push Jesus over a cliff. The spirit war is real. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Can you hear? Are you listening right now? Are you listening? He who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand what the Spirit says to the church. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can you see the Word? Can you see the Bible today? Has Jesus opened your mind to understand the Scriptures, removing your spiritual blindness? Now here's the Here's the last part I told you in the beginning I was going to come back to. Back to the third miracle of Elisha. Those false gods that Elisha faced, Chemosh and Molech, they are real. They are real. And they all work for Satan, the ruler of this world. And I say this, spirits don't die. Spirits don't come with expiration dates, and neither do you. You are a spirit being. And if there was a spirit being, a power in the Old Testament called Molech and Chemosh, then those spirit beings are still somewhere today. They are real. The king of Moab was overwhelmed by his physical circumstances, and he sacrificed his son, the future king of Moab, of the Moabites. He sacrificed him to Chemosh. And I want you to compare that to what's happening in the world today. There is a spirit being, a spirit power that would convince people to sacrifice their children to him. That spirit being power is still real today. Some people you see it, some people you don't. It's called child sacrifice. It's called abortion. Compare abortion, child sacrifice, to what was happening in to the Moabites when he's losing. His physical circumstances seem terrible. So his physical circumstances, the only thing I can think to do is to give my son to the gods. That's a spiritual picture of a lost world. Those who don't have eyes to see and they don't have ears to hear. Can you see today? Has Jesus opened your mind to understand the scriptures revealing this truth, setting you free from your past sins? Eyes to see, ears to hear. And here's the last point. What if right now today? What if right now today? And I know there are people in the room, I would say this is, you already are there. What if right now today you could see this in your spiritual, physical reality? You can see this. Yes, I see my personal circumstances are real. I'm 69 years old today. And you know what? I don't know how many more years the Lord's going to give me. That's my physical reality. But you know what my spiritual reality is? I have eternal life. I'm waiting for a new body to put the eternal life in, but I have eternal life. What if God would do for you what he did for the servant and what he did for Elisha, that he just simply lets you see what the world cannot see, that there is one for us who is more than anything the world could have against us. And that the spirit realm is real. Satan and Chemosh and Molech, and that those are real spirit beings that are adversaries, enemies of God. We're in the midst of a great spiritual war, but we win. We win. It would change your entire outlook on life if you can see what they saw. And that brings me to communion. I want you to get the communion now. And I think what a wonderful time to do what we're about to do. I want you to take the bread out and hold it in one hand and then open the cup. And I want to show you something today. Hopefully you will see, some of you, what you've never seen before in your life. Everybody got it out? I want you to hold the bread up. Jesus says, this is my body. And a lot of people hear that and they don't really know. They see the physical, they don't see the spiritual. You know what this is? You know what it represents? You know what it really is? It's the resurrection of the dead. This is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a picture of the resurrection of the dead. If you receive this, you receive the resurrection of Christ. He says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And by doing this, you will proclaim his death until he comes again. And what's going to happen when he comes again? You're going to get the resurrected last day body. So today, all of us say out loud, the body of Christ. And let's put it inside of us. Spiritually speaking, Jesus enters us. The resurrection enters me. The resurrection enters me. I told you I already have eternal life. I'm waiting for a new body to put it in. By partaking of the body of Christ, I believe and announce that I can see what I couldn't see before. The bread is his body. Now take the cup, hold it up. You know what this is? This is the blood of Christ. It's a symbol of the blood of Christ. So what does the blood of Christ mean? It forgives my sins. There's nothing else in all the world that can take away my sins except the blood of Jesus. So when I take this cup, I'm believing that by faith, I believe that he has sanctified me. He has rendered me holy by the blood that I have taken and put inside of me. His body and his blood have entered me. He has entered me. So everyone hold it up and say, the blood of Christ. And let's take the blood and put it in us. And here's what Jesus says. My body is real food and my blood is real drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I will raise him up on the last day. I will raise him up on the last day. What if you could see what the world cannot see? He will raise you up on the last day. Your physical circumstances are only part of your reality. The false gods of this world are real. I want you to put that scripture up on the screen, the one I have in yellow on there. Put it up there. I want you to read this with me. Read it out loud. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. You know when the time of the Lord's favor is? Right now. You're standing in it right this second. Your physical circumstances right now are only half of your story. Chad's going to come out for the invitation time. And what's interesting to me, the more I read it, the more I had to think about it. The king of Israel says to Elisha, "Do I kill him? Do I kill him?" "No, make a feast." You know what we are? We're sinners. We've all broken God's laws. Should I kill them? Should I kill them? No, prepare a feast for them. It's called the wedding supper of the Lamb. Prepare a feast. And those who have eyes to see, who have had their eyes open, will sit at the table with Jesus and eat a feast. And that's our future. And that overwhelms any physical circumstances I got to deal with today. I've already had my sins forgiven. I got a new body coming, and he's prepared a feast in the kingdom of heaven that we will never have to walk away from. So we're going to sing this song today, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And for those of you who have already had your eyes open, you already can see what you can see what Elisha saw. You see this thing. Then worship him today. Worship him today like you've never worshiped him. But if there are people, and there are people in this room right today, you have never seen before what you see right now. Today is your day. Today is the day of the year. The year of the Lord's favor is right now today in your life. Come and receive your sight. Come and get ears to hear. Come. Let's stand.